The Humpty Dumpty Institute. I can't even make that up. There's something, if you haven't heard about it, called the Humpty Dumpty
Institute. I did hear about it. Yeah, tell us about it.
And I'll just give you a quick buzz on it, and you guys can go read about it at nationalfile.com. We have, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 stories on it over there by now. So it's been in existence for about 25 years. Its stated mission statement is it wants to bring together Congress and the State Department and the United Nations. That sounds great, right? Well, if you're a Democrat, like just on the surface. And it just so happens that all of those members, Congressional Advisory Board members for the Humpty Dumpty Institute are far-left Democrats. Maxine Waters, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Adam Schiff, on and on. The worst Democrats you can possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And, and Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows.
Oh, and... is on there
too. And so we managed to secure an interview with Mark, and it was a 40-minute interview on the Stu Peters Network about a year ago. He couldn't answer any questions. Like Stu's asking him, Mark, what exactly were you doing with these Chinese communists? Here's the thing. You know, it wouldn't be so weird, this Humpty Dumpty Institute, except for two things. There's this other thing that they're very interested in. They're very interested in addition to the State Department, the United Nations, and Congress, they do this other side project that's very important to them in, like, I don't know, 30 countries. It's crazy around the globe. Mm. HDI is involved in child orphanages.
Oh.
Okay. Mm. That wouldn't be so weird, you know? You have kids who are homeless in war-torn countries.
We're very compassionate towards them, sure. Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be so weird if there's, you know, the Clintons go and destroy a country and all of a sudden there's mass chaos and massive, you know, swaths of humanity all of a sudden that are available for who knows what. Well, none of that would be very weird, except for the fact that the guy who runs the Humpty Dumpty Institute is the brother of Jeffrey Epstein.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And I tease now, of course, we take out these segments when we do interviews, but right before on the live stream, when I came into this interview, I said, don't go away. We're going to be talking about Ashley Biden's diary. Can you imagine that we're talking about Ashley Biden's diary with none other than the founder and publisher of National File, who actually broke the story, driving the news on a number of fronts, as both the mainstream press as well as the conservative press as well. That's a separate topic. Hopefully we can delve into that. I don't want to put Noel Frisch on the spot per se. I want him to be the diplomat, but I've got some commentary on top of it. I'm just so disappointed how we've been so fractured, and we've got these various news outlets, even among conservative, you know, Republican patriots that walk away from important stories. We're going to talk about multiple topics, not just Ashley Biden's diary. How about, ladies and gentlemen, Paul Pelosi's ties to Ukrainian oil and Arizona Senator Mark Kelly's Hitler costume scandal? And we're going to talk about that with our listeners tonight. Noel, sir, thank you very, very much. You know, I'm not just sucking up. I have been an admirer of the work that you've done. Courageous journalism, true journalism, the way it used to be back in the day. I'm older than you are, but I remember one day, not too long ago, when I would cover exposés in my local newspaper in Albany, New York, the Albany Times Union, and I would go to those pages where investigative pieces were published. And I watched the news business change, even in newspaper business, where commerce was really dictating the stories that went into these newspapers. Something shifted significantly. And then, as you know, the internet itself. But, sir, I applaud you. I commend you. Great work, sir.
Well, hey, Pete, thanks for having me. Happy to be here. National File is just a ragtag band of guys, young guys, who are just getting after it. I tell folks, and it's not even half joking, we're basically fueled by, Pop-Tarts and ramen and Red Bull and the occasional treat to Taco Bell, a lot of our guys. And we're out there scrapping, we're hustling, and we're fighting for original stories, breaking news stories. Before we launched nationalfile.com back in 2019, a lot of this team was over at Big League Politics, and the team there was doing outstanding work too, sort of changing the game in terms of headline writing. As a lot of your readers might remember, the clickbait headline hustle on Facebook was coming to a close as they were gearing up for Donald Trump in 2016, and they started cracking down on headline writing. And the game is ever evolving. It's ever changing, as you allude to so presciently. I would say that it's always been one that's been run by the chamber, by commerce. And in this case, it's really bizarre. Now we're looking at the explosion of the internet over the last 20 years here. And you're looking at the global chamber of commerce exercising essentially a near stranglehold over information, sort of unlike what we've ever seen. It's interesting. Back in the old analog days, I think you might have had better luck.
You there?
Getting frozen. A lot of stuff out than you do now. They've got all of those funnels. They can put a stricture right around them real quick.
News was always run by commerce. I understand that. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a specific example. I was spending a lot of money in Southern California with my local newspaper. Spending I say a lot of money in my neighborhood anyways, $10,000 to $20,000 a month for print advertising. And they would literally give me a half page to write an article and say whatever it was that I wanted. They just gave me access to that. And that entire paper had become filled with that sort of editorial content that was bought and paid for by the advertisers. And it was different and had a different feel than back in the day where, of course, you've got a lot of advertising going on there, but you've got some great, it's really the stamp that is on the envelope to carry those messages of great investigative journalism pieces that we would find back in the day, right?
We're not seeing that much anymore. Just in real time here, I'm watching a couple of things pop. One is Publius, which sounds like it's very populist, just popped out. It's run by a whole bunch of the guys from The Hill. They just announced their launch today. There's another one that has a very Latin-sounding name I can't remember that I bumped into, Dave Weigel. So Dave Weigel and 40 of his closest, $150,000-a-year reporter friends inside the Beltway are now launching another military-industrial complex-funded media project, and they're looking forward to doing a bunch of original work, right? Just about all the press, as I know you know, is essentially funded by the Global Chamber of Commerce, and now I try to, talking to folks can be difficult, as I know you also know, who are kind of aren't quite red-pilled as you and I might be. The Global Chamber of Commerce really breaks down to finance, insurance and banking, right? Fintech now with the rise of like Atlanta and Charlotte as big finance cities. And then you've got military industrial complex and pharma. Those are sort of like your top tier. Obviously, then you have really close downstream from that, all of the folks that rely on all that cheap labor. So your home builders, all of that Home Depot stuff, all of that Lowe's stuff that has to get shipped over here from China in order to have those houses, those new houses built for all of these millions and millions of illegal immigrants that are coming here just about every other month. And so you got to have the cheap labor to build those houses that's illegal. Mm-hmm. And you got to have all the cheap stuff from China that we offshored during the 80s and starting in the 70s, sadly, with Nixon. But now it's all built in China and it's not even built here. So, these are the issues that undergird what we do at National File. Nationalfile.com, we're essentially like a ragtag Breitbart that's actually going even harder at some of these issues than Breitbart would be. Patrick Howley is one of the top reporters.
Yes.
He was actually on the Hillary beat over at Breitbart during 2016, and he's the guy who's broken a whole lot of our big stories that we've broken together. And so I'm happy to run you through a couple of those.
You know what? We're going to get to the meat of these things. I just want to have this conversation with you. I've had so much admiration for what you do, Patrick Halley. I mean, you guys are fearless. There's not a news story you won't cover. But I'm going to say this. Those news stories, and I'm going to speak, I'm a consumer of information, okay? I've been a news nut ever since I was a young kid. I'd be eating my cornflakes, read the Albany Times Union. I'm telling you, I was a news nut ever since I was like 10. And I got into the business of independent media because I was so disgusted with the fact that a lot of, I'm going to use the term, consequential news stories were flat out avoided. I'm like, whoa, 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 what's going on here? So I got into independent media because of that. And then I entered the foray, you know, with the internet. It was the wild, wild west. I mean, you could go on YouTube and throw stuff out there and mess around with the algorithm and find out what people really were thirsty for. But let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Breitbart, for instance, I watch them. Is it because they're corporatized and they're advertisers? Obviously, they're very, very they're reliant upon those advertisers, and if they step out of bounds now, they can't be the Andrew Breitbart fearless journalist outlet as when Andrew Breitbart was there. I'm going to give them that much right there. But there's stories that they won't cover and the consequential stories that they should be covering right now. And you guys are separating yourselves. If you don't mind me saying so, I'm speaking as a consumer. I'm not trying to bait you.
I'll talk about it.
Please do, because it's so important. We're in such an important time, Noel. We need outlets like the National File to say, whoa, you need to pay attention to what's going on with, you know, Ashley Biden's, you know, diary or going after Pelosi and Ukrainian oil, right?
Do you want me to run a list off of those conservative outlets that
can you
touch
please
the angle of the Ashley Biden, the content of the Ashley Biden diary?
Please.
So if you go on these websites, they might have, in a very cursory fashion, covered the Ashley Biden story from the exact same perspective that the New York Times did. Okay, so let's go through the list. Breitbart, Daily Caller, Daily Wire, the Bill Kristol, former Bill Kristol outfit that's run by his kid or son-in-law, Free Beacon, Federalist. Basically, the entire newsplex of what you might consider the conservative ink. The guy over my shoulder here, whichever shoulder it is, okay?
Yeah, Tucker.
Okay, he doesn't run Daily Caller anymore, but the people who do are what I call jockstrap carriers for Karl Rove. Okay, so they just carry, chasing around about, it's around about $200 to $300 to $400 million of basically radio advertising revenue every cycle, so every 2 years, so $100 million a year. Four or five companies, probably more than that, to be honest. Are chasing around.
Yeah.
And in order to get that budget from Karl Rove and the party, not Ronna McDaniel, she's not in charge, it's people who run Ronna McDaniel above her, whose names you don't know, they have to basically agree not to cover certain stories. Breitbart right now is, you know, totally on Team McCarthy, 100%. They have been for over a year.
Disgusting.
I like Matt Boyle. Matt Boyle is a friend of mine. He's a guy, the D.C. bureau chief editor over there at Breitbart. But I've known for a while now that they were just going to be in the bag for McCarthy no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And Breitbart's at the top of the list in terms of kind of the pantheon. They're the best you've got.
Yeah.
Daily Caller is totally sold out and owned by Neil Patel and Karl Rove and McGuire Woods. In essence, the way that a lot of this conservative news works, Pete, that your folks may or may not be aware of, and I'm happy to give them a short peek here, but it could be a college course, to be honest, is that you have high-level sovereign wealth, and you have high-level hedge funds like the Mercers, Paul Singer, I think is his name. Who's in charge of Elliott Capital Management. And he really runs a whole lot. He's Frank Luntz's guy, the guy that McCarthy lives with. You know, he's in charge of Paul Ryan. He's in charge of Kevin McCarthy. Cesar Conda, I think, actually went to work at Elliott Capital Management after he left Paul Ryan. Like, this is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's the game that we see on Fox News every night, and even Newsmax. And I love OAN. I think that they're doing as well as they can possibly do, given what the sort of role they have.
Oh, yeah.
Much like Tucker, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It essentially is one where these folks have to sell out to just super high-level moneyed interests. And what ends up being presented on TV every day is just window dressing. It's artifice almost in its entirety. And I think that most viewers, most Americans, most voters sort of know in their gut something's wrong.
Mm.
They know that instinctively that most of it's just total BS. They don't know exactly what it is, though. And it's hard to put your finger on because, well, these folks are really good at kind of hiding the ball. They're carnies, and they're playing hide the ball.
You know
what they're doing.
Can I add something to, correct me if I'm wrong, okay? Because this is where I educate my listening audience. I am beholden to, you know, to my boss. And I say, I'd rather have a million people with a $1 bill. And it's in a new economy. And I want to work for you. Everybody puts up a buck. Boom. That's $1 million. Rather than have one, because the viewership obviously is there in both scenarios, but it's a matter of getting our viewership and our readership educated on this new economic model. Because once you start getting to the point to where they look at Breitbart and they say, "Wow, you're doing great. Your profitability is awesome. You're running a smooth business. So let's scale this up, attract bigger advertisers." That's where you get the hedge funds to come in. And then I would say that that's the cause of the censorship. Because if they step out of bounds, all of a sudden the cancel culture comes in and cuts them off, correct?
There's certainly a lot of truth to what you just said. Mm. I would point folks to a lot of these other companies like, CNN, for example, was a loss leader for AT&T before they just got dumped off and handed off to the Discovery Channel. So, I mean, I think a lot of your viewers have seen those memes where it's like the entire corporate media is owned by basically six companies or something like that.
That's right.
All true.
Yeah.
But the funny part is a lot of people in the, even in our conservative media, who are kind of like traditionally Fox News watchers, they think that we have this capitalist system, which we just do not have. We do not have a capitalist system.
Mm-mm.
It's total crony capitalism.
Yes, it is.
They don't understand that a company like CNN will be a total loss leader, or Daily Beast will be a total loss leader, or BuzzFeed will be. If you go Google all these companies and see how many reporters they've all. I mean, your viewers might be astonished to know that I think. Was it BuzzFeed or Huffington Post? They're laying off 1,000 workers.
Mm.
Can you imagine that company even had that to begin with?
Yeah, right.
That's just unbelievable. And then in comes a guy like Soros, and he strokes another $200 million check, $350 million check, they go and they kill it. There's a couple of these business models that are look, Breitbart is not making money. Mercer's have to fund that. They're losing money.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Okay. Axios, though, is like trying, I think they're executing a sales on somewhere on the order of, you know, $200-300 million. But so these are totally different and disparate business models, totally different and disparate. You know, Breitbart, Daily Caller, most of these guys don't have, Fox does, but they don't have Pfizer. They don't have the Chamber of Commerce that I referred to sort of at the top of the show, whereas Axios does. And not only do they have that Chamber of Commerce, massive cash of influx coming in from all of those vendors, and those guys are, you know, obviously buying influence and selling drugs, and we're on Rumble, right? So I can call it the clot shot, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. We're specifically not on YouTube.
Right. Yeah. So you're talking about most of these media companies don't even make money. In fact, their express purpose and their sole reason for being in existence is to control, is to basically censor. Because, right, you know, in the press, there you have omission and you have commission.
Yes.
And these are the two biggest rules of sort of editorial takes.
Lies.
What do you cover and what do you not cover?
Yeah. And omission is also a lie if it's intentional, correct?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I don't want to get, like I said, I'm a consumer. I'm a news nut. I've been there. If you're intentionally omitting stories that are so consequential, like, you know, because you're afraid of getting shut down. And then also those outlets like Breitbart, I mean, I hate to pick on them so much, but I've gotten away from them. And I know about Rebecca Mercer. You get these big bags of cash that come in. Who do you think is scripting the narrative? That's why they're funding these operations, because they can reach millions of people with their specific agenda, right? At the top end, when you get these big money movers, correct?
Yeah, they're playing a game that is entirely different than what you will read on the front page at Breitbart.com. Rebecca Mercer is not really, really interested in John Bender's, and I love John Bender's reporting, or in what's the British guy's name? Neil Monroe's like stellar reporting work that he does on all the illegal immigration. And he's done great reporting, Neil Monroe, over the years on illegal immigration.
Yeah.
But that's not what she's on about. She's on about something entirely different. It's a game of hide the ball.
That's exactly right. Now let's go to the good news. Let's shift gears here. National File, I'm telling you, I'm a big, big fan. Patrick Howley, big fan of Patrick as well. The work that you guys have been doing, your fearless journalism, when a story comes to you, like Ashley Biden's diary, I mean, that qualifies you for an FBI investigation. And you guys, right? I say, I mean, look, that's like criminal activity, exposing the truth like that. Look what happened to Veritas. They did their due diligence, and they ended up getting their door busted down. Hot story. You guys went forward with it. Tell us how that story came about, would you?
Well, I can break some news here on the show, and I can tell you a little bit about the behind the scenes about how it all worked out.
Oh yeah, I want to hear it. Absolutely. Yep.
So that diary was obtained at sometime in like late August, early September by Veritas. Veritas actually confirmed the veracity, the provenance of that diary, despite their claims that they made publicly in the press after National File broke it and Patrick Howley broke it. Okay. James O'Keefe went into the press and said, oh, it's not verified. Some guy named something, just only the news, some guy called Solomon or whatever, he was the one who spiked it over at Veritas.
John Solomon?
We're not clear on Mr. Solomon. We're not clear on what his role is over at Veritas.
Uh-huh.
But he's the person. I don't think I've said this anywhere on TV, Pete, so I think it's the first time that I've put it out there.
That's not the first time I've heard that. Go ahead, sir. Yep.
Yep. And so, in any event, they had this thing, they had verified it. There was a phone call, believe it or not, even before we managed to Veritas, National File had to Veritas in order to get that diary out. And there was a phone call. Some of your viewers might have seen O'Keefe do this on the Twitter. He'll put a video out where, hey, it's James O'Keefe. I'm the tough guy sitting at the conference table, and we're going to call you. You are unsuspecting victim, and they'll do the phone call. And, well, Ashley Biden answers the phone. And lo and behold, what does Ashley Biden say on the telephone? Yes, that's my diary. Please give it back, or I'll stick the Secret Service on you. So they knew it was confirmed. They knew it was hers. And they did not tell the truth in the public about the veracity of the diary.
Oh, boy.
I cannot begin to speculate as to the motivation for why they would have done that. I got questions. And I even called James just recently. And I've been trying to play really nice and friendly with him. Hey, let's be on the same page with this. Because as the timeline progresses, I'll walk the audience through this in case they're unfamiliar. We broke it on October 24 initially in part. And then 2 days later, October 26 in whole. It's a 112-page diary or journal, because she did write it when she was almost 40 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it basically got swallowed up with all the last week of the election stuff, although it did get a lot of traffic. There were a bunch of people who did click through and read it and share it around, and it moved. But not, it didn't move as fast as the Hunter Biden laptop, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so then a year later, Gordon, we never hear anything about it. A year later, November 2021, the FBI, the SDNY, working hand in hand together with the New York Times, they all go and they raid James O'Keefe and two of his staffers. And then we're jumping up and down being like, hey, we're vindicated. It's verified, right? And maybe we'll get some coverage. No. Nobody wants to talk about it. Fast forward another 5 months or so, March 20th, I think, of 2022. The New York Times, see, we knew this phone call existed. We had done our due diligence. We had in Veritasing Veritas, we actually had to conduct a huge number of interviews, and we knew that this phone call existed. We had been played chunks of it, but we were never in possession of it. And so obviously we were, that's why we were confident enough to run the story. New York Times runs this once upon a time in La La Land fairy tale story that basically runs through the contents of this recorded phone call. So obviously when they raided James and his staffers, they obtained this video. New York Times is now in possession of the video.
Yep.
Obviously the feds are in possession of this video now.
Right.
And and it's like, well, this bad man named James O'Keefe called up Ashley Biden and she told him that, but it's not even sourced. There's not even like, it's unbelievable journalism that your readers can go read it. March 20th, James O'Keefe, Ashley Biden diary. They'll find it on the New York Times. Maybe I'll throw it up on the National File Twitter here tonight. And they can go check it out, archived. And it's just unbelievable. They're confirming that this thing is legit. And so here, that was March. So here we are now, it's October. There's 3 weeks left before this election. And I still can't get any of the mainstream conservative ink media inside the Beltway or anywhere in the country, really, with very few exceptions. Charlie Kirk covered it, to talk about the contents of the diary, which is the key element.
Oh,
The New York
yeah.
Times, of course, only wants to talk about how did James O'Keefe get the diary, because they want to do what? Invalidate the legitimacy of the diary, in which Ashley discusses taking not appropriate showers with my dad when I was 8, and very subsequently thereafter says, "Was I molested? I think so."
Ay, ay, ay.
I can't have my kids in the room to hear me give an interview with you, Pete. I have a 9-year-old who would love to be here. I can't have him in the room to talk about this junk. It's disgusting.
Disgusting. Disgusting. They and I use the term consequential, not because I'm a wordsmith, but to have, for instance, how many stories have you covered about Joe Biden? See, when these crimes go covered up, when the FBI's in there covering up for everybody, what does that mean? That means that the FBI's got leverage over all these people. If nobody's being held to account, you have to have the media there to put out a public story, put them on blast, and if there's any criminal culpability, they have to be held accountable. Otherwise, what do you got? You got a guy like Biden that's going to sign any executive order he's told to, correct?
Right,
It's leverage, it's blackmail, it's right?
and it is, and it's funny that the different elements of blackmail that go on here. Of course, you have a guy. How does a guy like Hunter Biden avoid federal scrutiny ever? I mean, considering all the FIRA violations the guy
Ever,
has
ever.
operating as a lobbyist. There's another guy close to Trump who has some similar scenarios. His name's Corey Lewandowski. We can talk about that another time.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on. Wait. Don't go. Corey, I know a little bit about Corey Lewandowski. Is I just we'll talk about it another time. Is he on the team or
I'll
off
just
the
give you
team?
I'll give your so a lot of you know this. A lot of this is pattern spotting for
Yeah.
folks. They'll have to learn how to spot patterns if they
Yes.
want to be sophisticated consumers
Yes.
of the news and sussing out what's truth, right? I know
Yes.
everybody's watching this show because they want to know what the truth is, right?
Yes, that's why we're doing this. Yep.
There's a small list of people who are very close to the president who basically have avoided any sort of scrutiny whatsoever.
Yes.
Okay. Those would be the ones that you need to look to when you start to think about, well, who could the folks be that are close to the President Trump who are essentially cooperating with the feds? Okay. Corey Lewandowski, Jared Kushner. I don't want to go, I'm not going to say one bad word about Ivanka. Okay. But Jared Kushner. Okay. There's a gal who runs the Save America PAC. Her name is Susie Wiles. The people have probably never heard of her. On the very same day, August the 8th, that the raid at Mar-a-Lago took place, a 10,000-word puff piece was published by CNN on this woman who's in charge of the whole Trump operation. Her name's Susie Wiles. And I just have a hard time believing that's a coincidence. Nothing in this business is a coincidence. In politics, nothing moves unless pushed. The most powerful force in politics is actually inertia. So everything's going to stay still. Nobody's going to do anything unless pushed or paid to
Yeah.
move.
I
Okay?
look for the puff pieces, by the way, like Ray Epps, you know, right?
That one. Holy cow.
Yeah, right. You look for the puff pieces. Those are the ones that are, those people
Big
are,
tell.
yeah, that
Big
absolutely
tell.
big tell. All right. Anyways, carry on. So Lewandowski, that's, you know, it's just, it's amazing how these people have just, I mean, and surrounding the president, of the United States. Could you imagine that he was able to navigate through? I hope you don't tell me Trump's dirty. Okay.
I'm not gonna say that. Mark Meadows certainly your friend. I think you know Stu Peters, right?
I do. Yeah.
Stu Peters is a good guy. Good pal. Of nationalfile.com. The Stu Peters Network has been very good to us. We're pals. About a year ago, Stu did a 40-minute interview with former chief of staff to the president, Mark Meadows. All about his ties to, here's another story that nobody will touch, the Humpty Dumpty Institute. I can't even make that up. There's something, if you haven't heard about it, called the Humpty Dumpty
Institute. I did hear about it. Yeah, tell us about it.
And I'll just give you a quick buzz on it, and you guys can go read about it at nationalfile.com. We have, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 stories on it over there by now. So it's been in existence for about 25 years. Its stated mission statement is it wants to bring together Congress and the State Department and the United Nations. That sounds great, right? Well, if you're a Democrat, like just on the surface. And it just so happens that all of those members, Congressional Advisory Board members for the Humpty Dumpty Institute are far-left Democrats. Maxine Waters, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Adam Schiff, on and on. The worst Democrats you can possibly imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Meadows. Mark Meadows.
Oh, and...
on there too. And so we managed to secure an interview with Mark, and it was a 40-minute interview on the Stu Peters Network about a year ago. He couldn't answer any questions. So, like, Stu's asking him, Mark, what exactly were you doing with these Chinese communists? Here's the thing. You know, it wouldn't be so weird, this Humpty Dumpty Institute, except for two things. There's this other thing that they're very interested in. They're very interested in addition to the State Department, the United Nations, and Congress, they do this other side project that's very important to them in, like, I don't know, 30 countries. It's crazy around the globe. Mm. HDI is involved in child orphanages.
Oh.
Okay. Mm. That wouldn't be so weird. Kids who are homeless in war-torn countries.
We're very compassionate towards them, country. Sure. Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be so weird if there's, the Clintons go and destroy a country and all of a sudden there's mass chaos and massive, swaths of humanity all of a sudden that are available for who knows what. None of that would be very weird, except for the fact that the guy who runs the Humpty Dumpty Institute is the brother of Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh!
You can't make this stuff up.
Pick of the letter.
And nobody will talk about it. We're in talks with Marjorie Taylor Greene's staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact Marjorie Taylor Greene has this information. We will see if she will talk about it. I'm not holding my breath.
No, and neither am I. And by the way, this isn't a bashing session, folks. This is, right now we're in the most important time of not just our lifetimes. And this generation is having to contend with a lot of stuff. And we have to be able to have an honest discussion about who's putting information out and who's holding it back and who has an incentive. This left-right paradigm that we were always, fearful of, we conspiracy theorized that they were working in concert with each other. They certainly are. The Republicans that are the communist enablers, the do-nothing, Trey Gowdyites, those people that I've been very, very critical of. Trey Gowdy, let me just touch on this. Because we need to talk about Ukraine. We need to talk about, and this has been ongoing for over a decade, the Benghazi story. I went to the Benghazi Select Committee, turned over whistleblower, FBI, CIA, whistleblower information about what was going on there in Benghazi. And guess what happened, Noel? I spoke with the chief counsel over there at the Benghazi Select Committee. Trey Gowdy was in charge of that thing. He was going to get to the bottom of Benghazi, wasn't he?
Yep. I was on the hill when we were trying to start that investigation up in 2013.
Were you
right
really?
After. Mm. Yep. And we were, there's this parliamentary procedure called a discharge petition. And basically what that means is if you get enough support for this thing, you can essentially kick the bill out of the committee and bring it to the floor, okay, and bypass essentially leadership and the rules committee and John Boehner and say, bafangul, you guys, we're going to do this on the floor. And of course, John Boehner throws this discharge petition into a drawer, never to be seen again. They slow rolled that sucker, of course, forever. And you might remember the excuse that was given for Kevin McCarthy stepping, Kevin McCarthy was supposed to be your next speaker back in 2015 after the first and only and last thing that the Freedom Caucus did that was good was handing Paul John Boehner, his walking papers. And so leading up to that, McCarthy was supposed to be your speaker, and he had a scandal that bubbled up into the news. We managed to get that through some blogs up into Politico by early 2015. And God rest his soul, Walter Jones, a great American congressman, did something that is unprecedented, actually truly unprecedented, not in the CNN meaning of the phrase. He wrote a letter, and I think 8 or 9 or 10 other congressmen signed it, calling out McCarthy for his conduct unbecoming, which was, of course, his affair that he was having with Renee Elmers. And so we got rid of McCarthy. Sadly, libertarian, Koch brother-owned, China-friendly Justin Amash, his parents work in offshoring, I think, metallurgy of some sort to China. They gave us Paul Ryan. Sadly, Amash broke, cut that deal. We were supposed to get some really good rules, commitments out of leadership coming into that new Congress. Of course, Paul Ryan pulled the rug out from under the Freedom Caucus, and the Freedom Caucus really hasn't done anything since. They obviously, they campaigned in 2016, and then 2017 and 18, all they did was talk about Russia. They didn't talk about the America First agenda. And so look, I know I'm not trying to be like the doom guy.
No.
Look, we've been working on this speaker project. There's a group, and I used to work on it a lot with Breitbart, actually. They're close to being very friendly with the speaker. Kevin is actually the speaker here in 2 or 3 months, or 2.5 months. And so they I guess they will have succeeded, but McCarthy's not the guy that we need. McCarthy's too China friendly and is not friendly to the interests of the United States. And hopefully we can knock that guy down and go get an actual America First.
Can I say this? I'm going to broad stroke it and you can factualize it, whatever facts that you have to support my suspicions, because I'm watching them. Do you know who J.R. Majewski is here in Ohio?
Very well.
I know him too. We became, you know, friends early on. I think before he announced, the whole lawn thing, I was friends with him. Well, I'm in Ohio. So I talked to him, and then he announced his candidacy. And then, I'm not going to discuss any personal stuff behind the scenes, but this is what I said, and I said it publicly. McCarthy comes in with a big bag of cash, and I'm like, oh, hold on a second. We can finance your campaign by We the People. What is McCarthy going to be doing? And I told him, I said, watch out, man. That guy comes in with a big bag of cash like that. Oh, what if he tries to sabotage you and pull the cash out? Don't be beholden to him. And what did he do?
You and I had the same conversation, I think, with JR. And you by did? The way, 3 weeks late, 3 weeks after that, what happened?
Boom.
I'm here to tell you, the Republicans handed off this football to the AP.
Yeah.
And J.R. Majewski is going to, I've actually talked to him about trying to find some attorneys. I've emailed with several attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very confident J.R. Majewski has a major lawsuit on his hands.
That's what I'm talking about. Case.
National File actually broke. We work closely with that team over there. We've interviewed a brother in arms of J.R.'s, and we've confirmed his service record.
Everything.
And his words are, and I'll send you that link, and you can talk about it with your audience further.
Oh, absolutely.
In Ohio.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have known that you're in Ohio before this, but we've confirmed this guy's words. The serviceman, the source. Mm-hmm. His words are. I asked him. I said, "How many times did you see JR in country, meaning in Afghanistan?" His answer to me: more times than I can count.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was so beyond livid that these guys in the press,
disgusting.
The press,
yeah,
would do this to a war veteran. Okay, he was just beside himself.
You know, as one example, we'll get off of this, and I want to cover it more, and I want to see the work that you've done on J.R. Majewski as an example. I was in the military. I was in Okinawa, Japan. Guess where I was stationed? My official duty station was Fatima, right down the road from where? Kadena. Him and I were on the same exact base. There's nothing in my record that says Kadena. There's nothing in my record that says that I was deployed all throughout the Far East, including the DMZ in North Korea. So I knew exactly what was going on to him. Early on, I sniffed that thing out. I didn't even question what they were doing. I knew what they were doing. Yep. It was a massive hit job. But here's the bottom line. Not to discredit a congressional candidate, we're talking about a honorable veteran that served his country, period. That's disgusting to me.
It is disgusting.
And the Republicans and the Democrats are both culpable in this thing.
Well, I got to ask a question to Kevin McCarthy and Tom Emmer at the NRCC. Does the Associated Press run your political shop? Mm. Is the Associated Press in charge of deciding which U.S. House seats we're going to pick up as a Republican Party? Apparently they are, because instantly, as soon as that story broke, they pulled $1 million out of that first district in Northwest Ohio, I believe it is.
Yeah, Toledo area. Yeah, absolutely crazy. Listen, I want to talk about, and we have to get JR back on ASAP, because I want to refresh and take a look at some of the National File articles as well. I'm glad that you're as close to him. He definitely needs your support to deliver the truth. Okay. Ukraine has been the piggy bank of both parties. I'm going to say, I mean, I watched John McCain on the stage with the Svoboda Party, with the Nazis, congratulating the new regime that they installed after the overthrow. That Ukraine has been their piggy bank. The State Department's running that thing. They've got Kofor Black on the, you know, on the board of Burisma, you know, Mitt Romney's CIA specialist. The Hunter Biden thing that was going on. We have documents. I have 500 pages of documents of money funneling into the Merrill Lynch account that what's his name was just recently held accountable for. But here we've got a story that has been going on now for how long have you been covering the Ukrainian story? And now we got Paul Pelosi dipping his fingers into the cookie jar, isn't he?
Well, and it seems like our Congress is only too happy to play along. Oh. Every other week now we get another $5 billion, another $10 billion, $11, $12 billion. Now, I don't even know what's the tally, Pete. Is it going to be $80, $90, $100 billion?
You know what the tally is to me?
I don't want
to. Okay. Here's the tally. Whatever the tally is, I'm trying to keep track at the other end of how much of it goes missing. I'm hearing from Mercs on the ground. They're like, all these billions, nothing's showing up here. They got it in a turnstile. Pallets of money, I'm sure, are plowing through there and going to Schiff, Pelosi, same exact thing. We need to track the money, not just the money that's been allocated to them. We need to find out how it's being accounted in the Ukraine, because I think that that's an even bigger story, isn't it?
If we had boots on the ground to get stuff like this recorded. Look, I've seen, they're not only are they laundering money and influence through foreign countries in our industry, I'm starting to see a bunch of foreign influence as well. By the way, Insider is run by the communist, I'm just going to say commie fascist. The Germans, it's called Axel Springer, I think is the name of the company.
Really?
It's a massive conglomerate that is essentially just held by a bunch of the, what you're looking at is corporate syndicalism.
Yes.
And you have governments fusing, okay, with the private sector, okay? And by the way, it's now the United States Treasury that's handing over a lot of this money for these foreign governments now to then come back and play in our sandbox.
Yes.
So there's this ridiculous revolving door. Who would have ever imagined that would be the revolving door that we're talking about? 10 years ago, 15 years ago, the revolving door was, you leave Securities and Exchange and you go to Goldman or whatever. Now it's an international revolving door, and it's absurd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, people like George Soros and his involvement, everything this guy touches, and he's three or four layers out. You can always track him. You can see a documentary filmmaker in the Ukraine, you know, during the overthrow. You track that. Who is this? And they're tied to an NGO that's being funded by George Soros, and he's one.
Yep.
This has been a nightmare in the in Ukraine, and it doesn't stop. We have people on the floor of Congress waving Ukraine flags. Are they stupid or are they complicit, sir?
So yeah, they're complicit. So if I can, and please, without going way too deep, the way that the world works is, I think a lot of folks who might be prone to thinking like 2 or 3, 4 years ago, if you'd asked most folks, like, hey, are you a conspiracy theorist? They would have said, like, no, what in the world? That's insane. But would you, if you would have asked them the question, you know, like, hey, is there a back room of powerful guys who get together, you know, at something such as like the World Economic Forum or the Bilderberg meeting, and they make a lot of decisions for the world, and then they execute those decisions? They would have said, well, yeah, that's probably what happens. And so, you know, we're at a point in time where I think people are actually prone to start to listen to some of those quote unquote conspiracy theories, which of course was a term that was almost invented to be derided by the CIA. The CIA wanted to marginalize anybody who might come up with a theory that's sort of outside of their preferred mainstream. And they've been very effective at that. And I think that's coming to an end.
You know, when I first got into it, I'm sorry to interrupt your flow. Yep. When I first got into independent media in 2011, December 18th, right? 2012, by about the end of January 2012, I was called a conspiracy theorist because I was talking about the New World Order and Agenda 21. And
Yep.
Come on.
And here we are.
Here we are.
Yep.
Yeah.
So a couple of the, it's funny mentioning pattern spotting. You know, if you cut on Netflix right now and you try, like, of course it's all artifice and it's all curated for you and it's intended to sort of control how you think and what you believe, right? And I think folks know that by now. And sometimes they just want to tune out and turn off their brain, and I get it, of course. Every human needs to do that now and again. There's a big thrust on I'm going to take the sports world, since it's actually something that a lot of people are interested in and pay attention to, right? There's a major effort to convince people over at the Barack Obama Flicks channel called Netflix to make everybody believe that, man, there used to be this really bad thing inside of the sports world called gambling, and we did away with it. We got rid of it. Documentary after documentary after documentary. It's a fascinating pattern to recognize. And if you know how this stuff actually works, of course, those are where the big money markets are in sports. It's not the $20 million purse for a weekend of golf. It's not the, yeah, even, this might sound absurd, it's not even the $150 million 8-year contract that some baseball or basketball or football player signs. Those are small potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, Kanye West is talking about it now, just this week.
Oh, yeah.
He's shining a light on this.
Dude.
I'm here to tell your folks, this sounds like I'm in the weeds on the sports thing.
No, you're not.
The folks need to understand, the thing that most governments are on about is actually black markets.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm going to get in trouble and the feds will come knock on my door because I'm going to blow the lid off of their black market racket here soon.
And listen, don't hold back here and don't think about, because I'm going to do follow up. Oh, dude, this is a bombshell interview between you and me, because I try to get my listening audience as well educated as I can over time. So I'll do a follow up. But black markets, they're addicted. You know, that's how the CIA and the FBI became co-opted. How much money are they making on human trafficking? How much money are they making on drug trafficking? So on and so on and so on.
Yep.
The black budgets right now, they're addicted to it. They can't afford to get away from it, can they?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And so this goes a lot further back than a lot of like your patriotic, red-blooded, you know, red, white, and blue, July 4th celebrating Americans would like to admit. You know, about the time I became a Ron Paul fan was when I sort of started figuring out that like maybe that whole Ronald Reagan thing was not on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to say, forgive me if you stand up an actor, okay, and then you put, like, the head of the CIA behind him running the show.
Yeah, George,
and,
you know, George Bush.
I don't trust the guy or everything he says or does.
Or George Bush, right? It's undeniable. Or, you know, it's Charlotte Iserby. She's in the Department of Education installing what? Communist Corps.
Yep.
And she blew the whistle on it. This is in the Reagan administration. He was my commander-in-chief. I was all, you know, Ronald Reagan. I was gaga for Ronald Reagan. Then you discover the truth about who he was surrounded by, correct?
Yep. And so I think it's important for all of the listeners, all the viewers. Look, I think, like you mentioned, we're at a weird time in history. Certainly, it's a watershed moment that you know, we're living through here on planet Earth in our little skin suits that we're given that are temporary, of course. And, you know, we do the best with them that we can and hopefully prepare our our kids and our progeny and our family and whoever else we can for,
Amen.
You know, what's next, what to expect.
Amen.
And, you know, I've got five sons and another on the way, and then I think we're done. But it's important that they be prepared. And so during these last 40, 50 years, post-World War II, 60, 70 years now almost, gosh, you know, we got lulled into just complacency.
Oh, yeah.
And we got taken advantage of. You know, there's, you know, as you start to reexamine all of your precepts that you were sort of programmed with, you know, in your government school. And I used to be a teacher, you know, full disclosure, in government schools. You start to think like, you know, hey, I'm looking around now and it's looking like the communists are winning. Maybe we didn't win World War II. Maybe the commies won World War II and not the United States.
Can we call it long march through the institutions?
Right.
They're very patient, aren't they?
Yep.
And communism has been installed looking like an American, dressed in an American flag, masterful plan. They're very patient, aren't they? But I will say this, just a comment. You just described what I always say, is that we've been almost hung over with patriotism to where we fell asleep at the wheel. And they came at us. And now, what do we do? So, sir, in the remaining moments here, I want to make sure, great conversation here. I want to make sure that we tie everything in together. We have to support independent media. I mean, the true First Amendment free press must remain free and independent. Our survival depends on it. I want to cover one topic, though, before we move to that, because it's the biggest story that's going on right now. Are you covering any of this stuff with, like, the True the Vote and the Eugene Hugh and the Connect thing? Are you covering that story? I know it's fresh and new.
A little bit. You know, in the last 3 weeks of this election, we're going to be looking at campaigns heavily. I still look, there's a lot of people out there who are black-pilled and they're saying, oh, campaigns are fake. And it's like, okay, yeah, we got to get all this stuff fixed. Mm-hmm. I'm obviously paying attention to General Flynn's feed, mm-hmm. right? I'm seeing all of it.
Mm-hmm.
It matters. Yes. I'm here to tell you that even though it seems like these campaigns and these elections might be compromised, I know for a fact elections have this thing that I call blood cost, but literal blood cost. Okay. Mm-hmm. When bad guys come in and take over, there's a literal blood cost to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. Okay. They executed a massive blood cost for the last coup. Okay. They've been in charge now. I know we got Roe overturned, but now the work's in the states, and I haven't seen a lot of states standing up. Mississippi has, I think Indiana has, your neighbor. But look, in terms of getting these elections fixed, I don't know if the answer might be the judiciary. Maybe I would differ with Sydney and some of the other folks with their attack, their approach. I would say every patriot needs to be in their state capital demanding an Iraqi-style purple ink on my finger election with a paper ballot. Like, it's forget the judiciary.
Oh, yeah.
I don't trust the judiciary at this point. I don't trust some of these judges, most of them, okay? And I just don't think that's where we win tactically. And so that's the other thing that I talk a lot about when I get a chance to talk to groups or patriots, and hopefully I get to do more of it. But we've got to start making better tactical decisions.
Yes.
So for 2 years, I think we've just been, you know, our forehead has been on a baseball bat and we're spinning around in circles playing that yard game that you play at a birthday party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't mean to catch you off guard. This is brand new stuff. You there's no way that you could know about what I'm going to suggest here, because I spent some time this Saturday, Greg Phillips and a great group of investigative journalists out of Montana. They took that information that had come from the pit, and they dug into this company, Connect.
Yep.
Connect. Eugene Yu. Next thing you know, the LA district attorney, leftist, he's got all the data on every single state. Let me tell you what the implications are here. And it's being slow walked. This company was malware, and it was installed on voting apps. And all of our troops overseas have this voting app. And their data, like, for instance, a general's salacious texts and pictures are now on a Chinese server. We're talking about a magnitude. I mean, we're talking about a massive national security violation. Here's the next thing. You ready? This company controls the troop deployment system, the telephony system. China, see, I have the evidence of this, right? So this is the type of story that right now is just being quashed. Why? Because we're going into the November election. There's so much at stake. And just like you just said, we need to be demanding, you know, paper ballots. At minimum, there should not be one person that is home on election day. You go vote and then work to make sure that they're not shagging ballots into these precincts.
Yep.
We need to smash the algorithm, don't we?
Yep. Got to win by 10, 15%.
Yeah. Well above that. Tie everything in. Love your work. Love the conversation. I'm really going to put you guys on blast however we can, because, I mean, I've always relied upon you guys for good, truthful information. Right now, we're at such a critical stage. How do we support you? What do we do? And you give some action items to our listening audience, because guess what? You can't be a consumer anymore. You need to be an active participant. If you need to set up a phone tree in your local community and share information, we have to do that. We've got censorship. Give us marching orders. How can we support you?
Hey, I appreciate it. Go to nationalfile.com. Everybody can help out and donate there. We're getting ready to go ad-free, and we're actually going to start signing up monthly sustainers.
Oh, wow.
We need it. We need it these days because what the Google algorithms have put the kibosh on ad revenues.
Oh, yeah.
So your standard ad revenues, they only work for the chosen ones, like Bill Kristol at Free Beacon or wherever else. And so, yeah, we need all the help we can get over at nationalfile.com to buy our ramen noodles and our Pop-Tarts and our occasional trips to Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And so at National File on Twitter and on Gab. We're on Telegram, which won't stop making. If somebody could tell me how to turn off Telegram's notifications, that'd be great. I can't figure that out. At National File, we've got a bunch of good writers. Bannon has been covering our stuff recently.
Guys
like you, folks are hot on our stuff all the time. Over at Real America's Voice, they've been covering us. There's the Stu Peters Network. Look, I think it's just real important that we build this raft of independent journalists, and we all work together and amplify each other. And a lot of those folks who are still on Twitter, like Agent Poso, okay, those guys are not real. They're just not real. The guy is Navy Intel.
That's okay. Good. He's straight up. I was told he was by a very influential person who I can't mention. Straight up CIA.
Yeah. No, yeah. And he's the guy was spreading the Pizzagate thing all over the planet. And how does he somehow fails up into an anchor job at OAN and never gets canceled. And I love OAN, but he left there. He didn't last there. That's
right,
the point. And
right.
Now he failed his way into somehow he took over the human events masthead.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, look, the folks have to learn how to start sniffing and parsing and sifting through this stuff.
They do.
So that it's stuff. And mm-hmm. they know what I mean by stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got to sniff through it. And get through it and get to the real gems out there and actionable news item and turn the news and lever it into power.
Yeah,
that's the key.
All right, I'm going to ask you one final question here. Because not just supporting the great guys over at National File, that includes a very vigorous viewership, listenership. Well-educated one. Everybody think from the neck up. Don't believe anything, until you've researched it yourself, of course. But let me ask you, the average viewer or reader of the National File, what are the top stories? Not just, I mean, obviously the election's going to be huge, I think. The story is what's going to happen if they lose. That's another part of the story as to what happens on the other side of this thing. What does everybody need to be paying attention to right now? Like a smelling salt. You need to pay attention to this arena, this area. What is?
I'm going to go back to the whole dynamics of power. How do you lever information into power? And the way you do that, all your folks need to know this, is you go grab the speaker's gavel at every level. And we've been working on that, our team at National File, for a long time at the federal level. And it's really hard. It's a tyranny inside of the federal legislature, inside of the U.S. House of Representatives. Total tyranny. Total tyranny. Here's the cool news. Here's the good news. In the state houses, the parliamentary procedure allows regular citizens and just citizen legislators, okay, who are elected, and there's some in every state, although North Carolina is bereft of any, it seems like. There, even Texas or even, you know, Arkansas, which is owned by Walmart, has a few of these citizen legislators who are able to go in, and the parliamentary procedures allow them to rock the boat something fierce. Mm. And so I would urge the folks to really pay attention to parliamentary procedure, learn how to do it, learn how to wield it, turn it into power, and let's go mess some suckers up.
Yeah, you know what? That's great, because that's what I've had in my soul, is to get everybody energized, to get engaged with their state legislators, because there is no federal government that can overpower us if we respect the power of the 10th Amendment in our state legislatures, right? We're a sovereign entity. That's not a conspiracy theory. We're like our own little country. Noel, I'm going to put your stuff on. I've never spoken to you. We haven't. I can't believe we haven't up to this point. I appreciate this conversation, and I thank you very, very much for your time. I appreciate it. All right.
Likewise, people.
We're going to have your tab on the screen. We do 5 hours of streaming a day. We're going to go to 6 hours, and we're going to feature your work. Do me a favor. Don't go changing. Don't sell out. Stay. We need you guys. We need you guys. Stay true.
I promise.
All right. All right. Wow. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is all we have for the evening. That was a powerful interview. A lot to follow up on. We're going to be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
I want to thank all of you over the years who have supported InfoWars financially and with word of mouth and prayer. All the success that we've had together against the globalists and the fact that we're not caught flat-footed during their major takeover is because of you. Humanity has a real fighting chance. That's why I want to thank you all for buying products at InfoWarsStore.com, like books and films and supplements and water filtration, air filtration, so much more. But for those of you that want to actually give us a straight donation so we get almost 100% of the money to fund our operation during this critical time, go to InfoWarsStore.com, and right at the top, you'll see a link to make a straight donation. A one-time donation of $5, $10, $50, or a recurring donation you can cancel anytime. I want to thank all you that have donated. I want to encourage those of you out there that want to support freedom to take action now and be part of the global awakening, the new renaissance that's countering the Great Reset, by going to InfoWarsStore.com and clicking on the donate button and giving today. Thank you so much for your support. Please take action.